The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ in Hampton and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks, Senator. Wanted to ask your thoughts right now on the latest with the pandemic and your thoughts about maybe the federal government maybe trying to oversee more of the response, or what concerns you about everything right now?
Well, is it meant to be a general question, or are you targeting in on one part of the pandemic?
Well, let's talk about just the federal response as a whole, and do you think more should be done with everything?
Well, you know, it happens that just this morning I had a chance to read probably a six-month history of this, and through February and March, things were pretty disconnected between what the federal government ought to do and the state governments ought to do, and shortages of everything, and then things started turning around around middle of April, and it seems to me like where we are, February, well, that's almost 6 months later, that it's kind of settled down to an understanding that the federal government has to have a big supply of stuff in warehouse to disseminate to various parts of the country when there are hot spots. But a lot of the decision-making that was kind of convoluted between the federal government and the state government has kind of settled down to where the governors, because our country's so vast and different from one end to the other, that it's better to have the governors in charge of things like when to open and close the economy, when to put different things in different parts of a state in under different restrictions. And I think that there's a lot of lessons learned. And one of the lessons learned is that if we ever would have to take the dramatic action we did about March the 10th to shut down the economy and have 25 million people unemployed all of a sudden through no fault of their own, that we probably would not do it that way again or as uniformly across the country as we did. But looking back, we didn't know anything else in regard to the virus at that particular time, and everything was taken because we didn't know. We learned a lot. Wouldn't do it exactly the same way, and the same way with the practice of medicine. Doctors and nurses and hospitals are learning a lot about the virus they didn't know before and responding in different ways. We know that when the federal government gets involved in the origination and research and everything that goes on to develop a vaccine, that we're doing it much faster than we ever did before, and we're going to start to manufacture the vaccine earlier, even before the final testing's done, because we think it's going to work, and not wait and waste a lot of time manufacturing after the FDA's done approval to it, but not use the vaccine until we know FDA gets approval. But we'll have 300 million shots of vaccine to give to people just the very day that the FDA approves it, which is a far cry from what we would have ever done before. And then we've learned about greater use of telemedicine, and because the schools are closed on distant learning. So there's a lot learned, and I think that the learning process is going to be beneficial if anything like that happens in the future. Next question.
Yeah, Senator, to follow up on that, when you talk about vaccines, what do you think, what would you say to Americans to encourage them to take that vaccine? Because I hear from a lot of people who say there's no way they want to take a vaccine that's that new, or they're concerned about the government getting involved in issuing vaccines in general.
Well, of course, people can operate their own personal choice. I don't think we have the authority to make people take vaccines. I think in some states they make that requirement to go to school, but there can be exceptions even in those instances. So I'm going to advise people to do it. I think that a lot of people won't have to worry about that unless they're doctors, nurses, older people, because they're going to be prioritized. There's no way, even with the $3 billion that we spent to get 300 million shots of vaccines out, that is going to be covering except a minority of people. So it's going to be a long time before people are going to have to make a decision if you're just kind of a run-of-the-mill person not being on the priority list. And when we have a limited number of vaccines. So my advice would be that when I read about Johnson & Johnson and the third stage of research to prove effectiveness and safety, when they go out to 60,000 people, not only in the United States, but around the globe for testing, that after 60,000 people have had a test, that we're going to know how effective it is and how safe it is. And I would think that that would be very conclusive for a lot of people to take the safety of it.
Brian?
Yeah, Senator, I was going to ask you, can you give folks an update on anything with the storm-related damage with the derecho, and are you hearing about any other possible help coming for folks?
First of all, there's two very big decisions by the governor requesting the president to issue what he called a major disaster, which is greater help than just a normal disaster declaration by the president. So that would be a great deal of help across 36 counties. And then a follow-up to that was individual assistance for people in Linn County, and then further assessment of whether individual assistance would be available in the other 35 counties. And I think that assessment's about done, and the president will probably make a decision soon on that, but that's the only presidential proclamation that's necessary. Then we know that FEMA's been in the area surveying. Small business director was out last week and helping people, small business people. And then we have right now the crop insurance people going around assessing damage. And that's going to take a long period of time. But we'll have to wait till that assessment's over and to what extent crop insurance covers everything. All the needs of the farmers. I think with the damage to the buildings and everything, most farmers would have very good coverage for that. But for crop insurance, we'll have to wait until the assessment's done and whether anything needs to be done more there. Back to Pocahontas.
Yeah, Senator, if you could talk a little bit about optimistic signs for Iowa's economy, kind of looking outside of the ag economy, but the other economic factors in the state. Like, as you're traveling, what good things are you seeing? What are you seeing as far as economic recovery as we come out from the economic shutdown?
Well, the virus hasn't seemed to make a difference to this. I went to several manufacturing plants on my tours, county meetings, the whole Q&A with the employees on the assembly lines, and the management has said, you know, we still got such a shortage of labor. Now, I'm sure Iowa has a higher unemployment rate now than they did before the virus, but still tight labor market. It seems like the service industry, except for restaurants, are doing very well. It seems like manufacturing is getting up and running again. And I think everything I heard from manufacturing was very positive. Everything I've heard from the bankers except for low grain prices, has been very positive. Where we're finding problems are with restaurants and hotels. Next question.
Senator, I was going to ask you, too, about advancing broadband technology across the country. I've heard reports lately that some areas are still not getting enough coverage, and can you give folks any updates on where that stands?
Yes, particularly in rural America, it's very poor, but sometimes even in cities, oddly enough, it's poor. And it's really the interest, your question's very appropriate at this time, because everything's bad about the virus except it promoted the use of telehealth and distant learning. And with that is connected the shortcomings of broadband. And I would say that the only good news I have would be about $16 billion that's going to come from the sale of spectrum by the FCC, and that's all going to go into underserved areas. Next.
Okay, and this will have to be the last question for the day.
Thank you.
Just quickly, what are there still discussions when Congress reconvenes for another stimulus check to families, or should folks be kind of understanding that those are probably done at this point?
I can't say they would be done, and I hope they aren't done, because we still do need to do some more. As of August 6th, five sessions of the White House and Pelosi negotiation have not continued since then. There's been attempts by the White House on two or three occasions to get Pelosi to sit down and talk, but she hasn't shown any leniency on compromise, so that hasn't gone on. But in the United States Senate, we in the majority party are trying to put together a targeted package that we can vote on next week, and I don't have an update on that, but there's a great deal of agreement, still two or three things that are in dispute. So I hope that we, next Tuesday when we go back, we can start to vote on such a bill in the Senate. And then that would force Pelosi to come to conference with the Senate, because she's already passed the bill. The trouble is she passed the bill at $3.5 trillion compared to what we want to do around $1 trillion in the Senate. And the reason we are seem to be very conservative in that area, out of the first $2.2 trillion that we appropriated back in March, there's still several hundred billion of that's not even spent. Thank you both for participating.
Thank you.
Senator. Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs Program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.